each one. Definitely extend a healthy invitation of peace to each one of you this morning. In the name of our dear Lord and Savior. I think I wept through a lot of the service here. So far, I think it wouldn't be fair to share that some of the same scriptures that my dad shared here were on my heart to share in a bit of a different way. But I started putting together two different messages and three different messages, and the Lord just kept leading me back to this one, and I felt like this is the one I didn't really want to bring. But I think it's the one that God wants us to consider here today together. Highly favored in the Lord. My heart this morning, and maybe we should just start with a word of prayer. Before we pray, though, I'd like to turn to the book of Ephesians. And I'd like to read the scripture. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6 is a simple little short scripture here. But my heart's been meditating on it here a bit, as Brother Joe shared about our thoughts. But let's just read this, and maybe we can all kneel after this, and I'll try to lead us in a word of prayer. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He has made us accepted in the Beloved. And I would want to expound a bit more on that scripture here a bit later, but why don't we just kneel forward a prayer here this morning together. Yes, Father, as we do bow to You. And our hearts are filled with deep awe and reverence as You're here. You're ever so close to each one. You do know the thoughts and the intents of our hearts. And our heart this morning is to honor You, and to worship You, to just tell You how faithful that we have found You to be in our lives, and to thank You for the much love that You've bestowed upon each one of us. Truly, Your mercy has given each one of us far, far more than each one of us deserve. It is with great glory and honor and praise and majesty that we mention Your name and that we say Your name today, and we declare You on high. As we come before You, Father, You know how helpless we are. You know how little we really can do. You know what little we really can accomplish. You know how dependent we are completely on You for each and everything, even our very next breath. And so as we come, we find ourselves in deep need of You, working through this feeble body, these faltering lips, this mind that is so far from perfected. All of these faculties, Lord, that we have been given today are nothing to You. You can work through all of them. We pray that You would do this, Father. We pray You'd have the freedom to be here with us. We pray You wouldn't be threatened to be here in our midst, but that You could be here and bless each one of us with Your presence, Your love, Your peace, that perfect peace that passes all understanding. We just pray, Father, that your work can continue in our lives today, that you can perfect us. We know that this is the purpose of you gathering the church together, is to perfect and to guide and to lead. We pray you'd have the freedom to do this here today, Father. So we do pray that our lives could be fruitful and that you could continue to help us to build our lives on your word, on the word of God. Lord Jesus, as we're here before your people, they're the sheep that you have died for. Our heart trembles. We desire, Father, to lead them to green pastures with your help. We pray, Father, you would feed their eternal soul, all of our eternal souls here together. We just pray that this service could somehow further your kingdom. We pray that each one of us could meet with you and hear from you and leave here with things to apply to our lives, and that you would avail us of the grace to do this, Lord. So we do pray for my dear brother Alan, Lord, as he is ministering just now too, I'm sure. And I just pray you'd be with him and give him peace and clarity. Thank you for him and the blessing he has been to you, to me, and to your kingdom, Lord. So thank you for this service. We've experienced your faithfulness, and we're in a small way, Lord, we know who we ask these things of, and we know that you've answered all of our prayers as has been good and right. And we offer these pleas and petitions to you again, knowing that you will do what is right and best for each one of us in our lives. We thank you for it. In your worthy name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, this morning I just want to share my deep appreciation for being a small toe here in the body of Jesus Christ. I feel privileged. Maybe it's just a small toe now, I'm not sure. But I'm privileged to be that, and I'm honored and blessed. This morning, as we read this scripture here in Ephesians, talks about to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He has made us accepted in the Beloved. And our English translators have done a far better job than I could in translating some of these words, and I have no attempt to be critical at all, but this word accepted has been, some of these thoughts have been on my heart here for quite some time. And this word accepted, to give us a little better picture of it, it's bestowed or it's highly favored, but it gives us a better picture of what God has done for us. Let's say this picture here represents all of the water that the world could contain, or the universe, I should say, and that this is our little cup here and it's running over. And we have yet all of the water in the universe that is just waiting with anticipation to be able to be put into this cup as we use it. That is a better picture of what we have in Christ. We're highly favored. We're highly favored by God in the Lord. And the thoughts today are that we would consider our favor in the Lord and our acceptance in the Lord. As my dad's already shared what he did about being about the double. How we're doubly secure and doubly covered, or I'm not sure what all he said. But it seems like so many times in my life and among God's people, there's insecurity, there's fear, and there's always reactions when there's fear and mistrust and those things in our lives. So this morning, if you would, I would like for you to picture yourself out in the middle of a big body of water, and the sea is calm, and you're out in this little boat, and it's not very big. And as you look out on the horizon, you see a 20-foot wave coming your way. You don't have any paddles. You don't have any oars. You don't have a motor. You don't have anything. What would you do? To take that a little further, picture this morning all of us together out on the water on a boat that's a bit bigger. And we're all together out there, and somehow we just discovered that for the next 6 months, we're going to be going through 50-foot waves together. What would you do? Would you say, why does there have to be so many people on the boat? Or why didn't you put on, why didn't somebody put more food on? Or why didn't somebody fix the hole that's in the bottom of the boat? Or why didn't somebody put a higher railing along the side of the boat? Because as these waves come, we're pretty sure that some people are going to be cast off the boat. Or what would your thoughts be if a brother would find a big anchor? An anchor that's bigger than the waves. And he would pitch it into the water. Brothers, we have that. In many ways, that is reality in our lives. We are out in a boat, and we can't do as much as we think we can. And we're far more helpless than we think we are. And we have but one thing to do, and that is to look up. I don't think we can do as much as we think we can. What tends to happen is when there's a group of people on a boat like that, and there is an anchor that's bigger than the waves, there's still a few that have a hard time putting their faith in that anchor. They have a hard time finding that security in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a lot of my burden that I'd like to talk about today. You know, does it seem to you sometimes like you have to really watch what you say? Because someone is weighing every word you say, and they're trying to find fault with what you say, and when they find something, then they make fun of it. Or they sneer at what you say. You know, all of those things are things that I want us just to think about. I want us, in my own life, I need this. I can honestly say from the depth of my heart that I'm encouraged with the security that's here in the Lord Jesus Christ. But I also have a burden that somehow God would deepen that security in all of our lives. And I do want to say that this is not a message that God loves us all. And we're all going to go, we can all live however we want. We can all go happily to heaven. And I'm not sure what else I could say to balance this message. That is not my heart. And I think we'll see that as we go. But in order to lay a bit of the groundwork here, this is a part of some of the thoughts that I have I haven't really wanted to share. Yet somehow I feel like I should share some of this to help us see what's inside of what our carnal nature really is, so we can cry out to God for more of His strength and more of His blessings and more of His acceptance and more of His grace and more of His favor in our lives. It's been quite a few years ago. I was delivering some things, and the day called me to deliver some things up in a store in Warsaw. And as I pulled up to the store, I got out and I started taking stuff in. And I wasn't there very long, and here someone came along and they brought in a natural gas bill from NIPSCO to pay at the store here. And there was a woman in the store that was in control, and she was, I noticed things were getting pretty lively, and pretty soon she just starts raising her voice and starts screaming and says, "Why did you come in here? I hate you. I hate you. Why did you even come in here? I told you to never come back." And she just went on and on and on. And I'm not sure why that story came to my heart this as I've been preparing to share this. But somehow it exposes the insecurity that can be in us as people. And that stuck with me for years, just that experience. Also, another account that I want to share here that is a real account that happened here not too long ago. On June 20, a teen pulled out of a store and fatally stabbed. On June 22, 2018, a teenage boy was dragged by a group of thugs out of a Bronx grocery store and repeatedly hacked with hacked out with a machete before he bled to death on the street steps away from a hospital. Guzman Feliz, 15, is seen being dragged by the hood of his shirt out of the Kurtz and Chicory grocery on East 183rd Street and Bathgate Avenue on Belmont Wednesday night. One of the four attackers is seen hacking at the shrieking teen with a large blade as another one punches him over and over before the group speeds off in two cars. A bleeding to death Feliz, who police said was stabbed multiple times, including what appeared to be a huge gash in the neck, was left screaming on the corner with his hands raised before running across the street. Police on Friday also released footage of the murderous thugs who are still at large, walking in and out of the store. People can be heard telling the boy who was referred to as Junior to keep his eyes open as they encouraged him to keep talking. Authorities say the victim had run into the grocery store after being chased by the group. Felix lived in the area with his family and ran to the nearby, there was a hospital close by before he died of his injuries just feet away from the hospital. Cops say the victim, who had a clean record, knew the suspects. A police source said that all the suspects are part of a gang that Feliz was not part of. The New York Police Department chief of the department, Terrence A. Monahan, said that the killing of this teenage boy, who had dreamed of becoming a detective, is one of the most brutal slayings he has witnessed in his career as a law enforcement officer. The stabbing murder of this young man is among the most brutal crimes I have seen in my 36-year career, he said while appealing for help from the public to identify the suspects. What happened is, as I found out later, this young man was misidentified. They thought it was someone it was not. And he knew that he was after him, and he ran into the store, and he tried to hide. But they went right in there and got him and drug him out and killed him. And now, to bring this just a little further home, brothers and sisters, when we're talking about our security and how secure we are in the Lord, I don't think any of us here would physically go out and do this to someone. But it does happen, even in the Church of God, that the people, they gang up together against someone, and words start flying and things start flying that are things that are not true, things that have never been even identified, things that should never happen. And so I know this seems a bit far out there, but I do feel like hopefully God can use it to identify the needs in our life for more security and more grace. You know, I had to think, it's very likely that while we're out on that boat and that 50-foot waves, they start coming, that fear and anger would rise up in a heart that doesn't have faith in the anchor. And that we could very easily would do things that we wouldn't want to our brothers in Christ. Now, growing up, I heard an uncle say, he has now passed on, that a human being that has lost his sound mind and reasoning is far worse than any animal can ever be. What is in us? Why do people treat each other the way that we just talked about? Who is it that steals, kills, and destroys? John says, the thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I'm come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. What is it in us that wants to put others down to make ourselves feel better? What is missing? I had to think of Daniel and his three friends. I have the scriptures here, but maybe we'll just talk about it. Daniel, it says, and these three presidents of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them and the king should have no damage. But they were jealous of Daniel. And so they set up a trap to take Daniel fast. And I had to think we could expound on that principle some more. That is an evil intent. That is an evil carnal thing in our hearts when that happens. Um, Like I said, this is the part here that I... There are serious foundational and root causes for this type of behavior. It might have to do with low self-esteem, being afraid of failing, of what others might say, fear of looking bad, the desire to promote self, the need to one-up someone else, or a combination of all of these. When we find ourselves engaged in these types of negative, mean-spirited behaviors of putting others down, we're casting very serious judgment on our own lives. We're exposing our own carnality and our own insecurities and our own lack of character. And very likely, a lot of times there's envy and jealousy that is involved. Seeing someone else prosper is reason enough to criticize, belittle, disparage, and degrade that person and put him back in his place. He really thinks he is someone. It's really easy for us to assume that someone else thinks he is someone when they're prospering. And these are all carnal tendencies that can be in our heart, be it not for the grace of God. And that grace that we're ever so thankful for. And so I just wanted to lay a bit of that foundation of what can be in our hearts before we go on and talk here more about this, some of the security. I had to think of a couple places. Matthew 27 talks about Jesus. Matthew 27 verse 18 says, for he knew that for envy they had delivered him. Think of that. Jesus knew that it was out of envy in their hearts that they delivered him. Mark 15:10 says about the same thing. It says, for he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. Acts 7:9 says, and the patriarchs moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him. Envy is the feeling of displeasure produced by witnessing or hearing of the advantage of prosperity of others. When we hear that others are prospering, what is it that comes into our heart? And I'm just wanting us to know that we are all highly favored in the Lord, and that we have no need to allow any envy or strife or any feelings about any other man in our heart. You know, most times what's not taken into consideration is that there was a lot of effort and maybe prayer put into what the other person has that we do envy. Nothing is just given. And many times we don't give credit for people that put the effort and the time into what they have in their life. And I think it's something we should think about. A few proverbs here. Here's a German proverb. It says, as rust corrupts iron, so envy corrupts a man. Envy eats nothing but its own heart, it says. Envy shoots at others and wounds herself. A Jewish proverb, happiness vanishes when envy appears. So, again, many times there's envy or discontentment or there's things in our heart that are not right, and they keep us from experiencing acceptance with God or being the high favor that God has really placed on our lives. To the praise of the glory of His grace, when He has made us accepted in the Beloved. If we can rest in those verses, they bring much, much peace to my heart. The Greek word that is used for acceptance here is a verb. It is giving us the meaning of freely bestowed upon, given without measure, highly favored, as I've said before. The one other place it's used in the New Testament is in Luke chapter 1. And as you listen to this verse, it gives us a deeper understanding of what it means here. Let me read Luke chapter 1 verse 28. It says, and the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. It says when the angel appeared unto Mary, and the Lord said, thou art highly favored. That's the same Greek word that is used in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 6, where it talks about accepted in the Beloved. It is God that is saying we're highly favored. The word beloved referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. As we go here, again, I've shared a lot of my hearts. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may grow up into Him in all things. Colossians 1:23, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Grounded and settled. Be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. The word grounded is to lay a foundation. The grounding, being settled, steadfastness, unmovable, always abounding. May God help us to do that in our lives as we find favor with the Lord, in the Lord. Now, I do have a Psalm 103 that I put in here. And as I put it in here, my thought was to call on a brother to just stand and read it. And maybe we could all stand. And where's the mic at on this side? Does someone have a mic here? On this side? Yes. Maybe, brother, would you give it to Brother Alvin? Brother Alvin, would you read Psalm 103 loud and clear? Why don't we just all stand here for a bit?
Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is as high above the earth, so great is His mercy towards them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame, He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep His covenant, and to those that remember His commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared His throne in heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye His angels, that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye His hosts, ye ministers of His, that do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, all His works, in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
And they all said, Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. There's a chapter there, that book in the book of in the Psalms there blesses me. Now, this is the part of the message here that I've been looking forward to, and this is where a lot of my burden lays here. It's just to just that God would help us take His word and meditate on it as we've heard, and turn it into a personal message to each one of our hearts. And using, if you'll allow me to here, and using a few different translations, which I don't normally do, and paraphrasing some of these scriptures in different words, and I have the references here behind here, but I did my best just to pull some of the message that God would say to us personally if we were just to read this verse. And I would like for you just to listen to these scriptures as I'm going to read them to you, and it just blesses my heart, some of these scriptures do. God really does love and care for us. This is a message of love for us from to us from God. When you are in confusion and wondering which way you should go in life, please remember that I have a plan for your life. Put your trust in me and I will show you which way to go. I will bring my plans for you to pass and I will complete them. Psalm 57:2. I created you in your mother's womb. I was there watching in secret as your body was being formed. I wrote down my plan for your life before you took your first breath. Oh, my child, how I desire that you would follow the plan I created just for you. Psalm 139:13, verses 13, 15, and 16. I created you for a special reason. I have prepared a specific plan just for you. It is not too late to start resting in my unfailing love and trusting your life to me. Then I can work on your behalf, fulfilling my purpose and making you into everything I created you to be. Psalm 138, Philippians 1:6. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and to not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Jeremiah 29:11. How often does unbelief keep us from experiencing what we just read here? For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and to not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Following my instructions for living that I have written in my word will profit you in every way. My promised blessings are not only for heaven, but for right now here on earth. 1 Timothy 4:8. Do not believe the lie that I will bring harm into your life. You are my child, and only that which is good comes from my hand. James 1:16-17. I did not create you to be a failure. That's a lie that the devil wants to bring to many. I did not create you to be a failure. I created you to be a success. I have promised that if you will meditate in my word and walk in my ways, your life will be prosperous and successful. Joshua 1:8 and 9. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. Psalm 32:8. Listen, my son, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. I will guide you in the way of wisdom and lead you along straight paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble. Proverbs 4:10-12. Look and consider all the incredible things I have created, and yet you are so much more special to me, special and precious to me, that I'm constantly thinking about you. My thoughts concerning you are too numerous to count. Psalm 40, verse 5. I'm watching over you constantly. I notice everything you do and take great interest in every aspect of your life. I know you so intimately that I have numbered the hairs of your head. You have no reason to be afraid. You are of great value to me. Matthew 10:29-31. Do not be full of worry and fear. Give me your cares and put your complete trust in me. You are my child, and I care about every area of your life. So rest in my unfailing love, and I will take care of everything that concerns you. 1 Peter 5:7 and Psalms 138:8. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remember your sins no more. Isaiah 43:18-25. I love you so much that I sacrificed my only son for you, that you might put your trust in him and receive eternal life. John 3:16. Come unto me, all ye that are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Matthew 11, 28 and 29. More than anything else, I want you to know how great my love is for you. It goes beyond your human understanding. But you can grasp the reality of my love as you read my word and consider all that I have done. As you are filled with my love, you will enjoy your life to the fullest. Ephesians 3, 17 and 19. I feel like I didn't read that one real clear. I want to read it again. More than anything else, I want you to know how great my love is for you. It goes beyond your human understanding. But you can grasp the reality of my love as you read my word and consider all that I have done. As you are filled with my love, you will enjoy your life to the fullest. Why do you choose to go your own way instead of mine? Why do you worry instead of having faith in my promises? But even when you run from me, I continue to pursue you. How I desire to bless you. If only you would see my unbroken companionship. Isaiah 30, verse 15 and 18. Absolutely no situation is impossible for me to work out for you. No promise that I have made in my word is without power. For I am able and willing to perform it even in your life. Luke 1, 37. When you reverence me and put me first in your life, I will provide for you. Others may lack the necessities of life, but you will have all you need. Psalm 34, 9 to 10. Change your life by meditating on my word. Then you will understand and be certain of my will for every area of your life. Romans 12, 2. It delights my heart when you put your faith in me. I take great pleasure when you believe that I am real and that I will bless you as you diligently seek me. Hebrews 11, 6. When you admit your sins to me and ask for forgiveness, I will always forgive you. Then you will be totally clean and holy in my sight. 1 John 1, 9. Do not let your hearts be troubled, distressed, agitated. You believe in and adhere to and trust and rely on God. Believe in and adhere to and trust and rely on me also. Peace I leave with you. My own peace I now give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed, and do not permit yourselves to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly and unsettled. Now, the security we're talking about here is not something that I can just give you by reading these scriptures, or I don't think it's meant by God as something that just comes to us without some things in our own life that I'd like to talk about here a little bit. And I know that I should have expanded on it more, but it gets practical. I think in the evangelical gospel today tries to bring security to people. But what's really missing is some of the things that I'd like to share here next. And I don't believe that God ever intended that we have the deep security and the high favor of the Lord that we find in the Lord without having some of these practical things in our life as well. And so what's happened is now we have professional psychologists that have a different name for every symptom that most of them come down to they've never found God and their peace with God. And they're not secure in God, and so they have all kind of medications, and things just go on and on. But I do want to briefly talk about the importance of a pure heart. How? I don't think it's possible to have deep security or be highly favored of the Lord or have His blessings bestowed on us if we don't have a pure heart. Matthew 5 says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." The next B here is on the practical things that I believe we need to have more of God's divine security in our life is a holy life. I don't think what's happening in much of the church today, much of so-named Christianity, is they're trying to help people find security mystically by by thinking, how can I say this right? By thinking certain thoughts, as Brother Joe shared, or by, it just seems like it is one of the highly sought after things today, is security and peace with God. But I don't think there's any way to have it without walking with God and without having these practical things in our life. And I think as we seek these, deeper security will come. The next thing is contentment with where we are in life and what we have, you know. God is completely in control of our life. I think we sometimes think that there's a lot we can do and there's a lot we can change. And you know, in the scheme of things, God does give us things that we can do in His Word. But in the big picture, there's very little that you can really do. There's very few things that you can really change. God is in control of the overall picture of our life. And He has us where we are in a lot of ways. And we're not going to get away from Him by doing certain things. So I think we need to be content with where God has us in life and seek Him and draw closer to Him where we are. And I don't mean that in the wrong way. I don't mean that I'm not talking into church situations or any of that as I say that. I'm just saying overall, I think there needs to be a surrender. A surrender completely to God and acknowledging that God has us where we are spiritually in our walk and maybe even physically with the things we have in life and just an overall contentment. And I think that will bring that will open up our life to allow deeper security into our life. Actively serving others. It seems like something happens to people's security when all they do is serve themselves. They struggle getting rooted and grounded and experiencing the high favor of our loving Father. As part of God's design that we serve and that we serve others. And as we do that, I think we open our life to deeper security. And I know that this is the heart here. And this is not a message to, this is only a message to strengthen what God has already so richly done in our midst. As Timothy says, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. Acts 10:35 here talks about it. This is also very practical. This scripture blessed me. Acts 10:35, it says, but in every nation, he that feareth him, which is God, he that fears God and works righteousness and does what is right is accepted with God. And that's where our security really comes from. I believe there's not a human being alive that doesn't need that, that doesn't need that security and that being loved by God. But it doesn't just come from faith. It's also practical as we walk with God. You know, rather than slander, this is the last one here on the practical side, and I should have spent more time on these, I know. But rather than slander and envy, can we continue to honor the other above ourselves? As Romans says, Romans 12, be kindly affectionate one to another, with brotherly love and honor, preferring the one above the other. And I believe when we can do that, it brings more security into our lives and more of that power of God that we so richly need. How about it, brothers and sisters, as we consider our lives? Are we living our lives that someone would say, he's walking in the favor of God. He's highly favored of God. God has His blessings. He's secure. God has put many blessings in this brother, this sister's life. Is that what others are seeing? How should someone that is highly favored in the Lord live? What should be some of those things that are seen? Romans says, wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Paul says, wherefore we labor, that we might present, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. That scripture blessed me. We labor to be accepted of Him, Paul says. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now, there was a lot said here today, and my heart is feeling like maybe it didn't make any sense. I'm just trusting that as we find ourselves out in that boat, that we can see that we have an anchor that's a lot bigger than any of the waves that are coming. And that we can put our faith in that anchor. And that we can continue some of these practical things here to bring more security into our lives in a deeper way. Because I do believe, brothers and sisters that have shared, that there are waves that are coming. I do believe that, you know, we could very well be facing persecution. And whether we face persecution or not, we still are facing very perilous times. And men, it says in Timothy that men will be lovers of themselves. And it just goes on there and gives a whole list of things. And we are in those times. And many are falling away. And I believe that we need this security just to make it through faithfully. And that is my heart. The importance of a pure heart. Blessed are the pure in heart. The importance of a holy life. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord, God says. Contentment in where we are with God and where we are in life. We can never be content with our walk with God. We should always be discontent there, but with everything else, we should find contentment. Actively serving others. Again, this scripture. But in every nation, in other words, everywhere, he that fears God and works and does what is right is accepted with God. And that's encouraging. And this is a security that no one can take from us. I believe that we can walk away from God, and that there's so many scriptures that share that. But it's something that someone, no one can beat out of us, and no one can take from us. And just to illustrate that, I have an account here that I'd like to share in closing about a young man that was beaten and beaten, and he was wondering, is this security, this Jesus, is he still in me? And he was. So let me share this, and then I'll take my seat. And my prayer is that the favor of God will grow in each one of our lives. Hermann Schmetzelbach lived in most of his life in Mozambique, Africa, reaching out to the natives in the southeast part of Africa. He tells the intriguing and encouraging story about Samuel, the son of a local tribal chief. When Samuel was converted to Christianity, it was miraculous life, a life-changing experience to him, so different from anything else he had ever known before. Jesus Christ came into his heart and brought with him strength and security. It wasn't very long after Samuel's conversion that his father, being a tribal chief, held a feast in which an offering is made to appease the evil spirits. It was an offering that required each member of the tribe to eat a bite of the animal that was being sacrificed. When Samuel refused to eat his bite of meat, his father became furious. After trying several different things to persuade Samuel, to no avail, they took Samuel down, they staked Samuel's hands and feet to the ground in a spread eagle position, and then the flogging started. First Samuel's father, then his younger brother, and they flogged him repeatedly until Samuel lay there not moving as he was unconscious. Through all this, Samuel remained steadfast in his newfound commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. During the night, Samuel's younger sister secretly snuck out and freed him. And Samuel journeyed through the rest of the night to where the believers lived. When the believers found Samuel the next morning, barely able to move, Samuel's first question to them was, "This Jesus that came into my heart, will he ever leave me?" Samuel was afraid they had maybe beaten Jesus out of his life. But the believers' answer came straight from the scriptures. "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee." So that we may boldly say, "The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." Brothers and sisters, we're highly favored of the Lord. We have many blessings bestowed upon us. We're accepted in the Beloved. May this grow in our lives. And may we put faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That anchor is far greater than any waves that will come. Do we believe this? Are we sure of this? Are we convinced? May God help us to examine our hearts. And may He show us if we're putting faith in something other than the Lord Jesus Christ. If we are, then we're not ready for that wave that is coming. But God is faithful. He will help us and He will show us what it is that we truly have our faith in. And He will help us to repent. And He will help us to put our faith where it belongs. Very thankful, in a very small way, to have experienced some of the blessings of the many riches that we have in Christ Jesus. And may God strengthen our faith in Him.